All right, Brother Ed. All right, praise the Lord. This Lord's Day Sunday morning, this first Sunday after Christmas, this last Sunday of the year 2020, and I'm already dreading 2021. I know I don't have anything to dread, but I can't help it. The fleshly part of me is dreading what's coming. The fleshly part of me sees somewhat of what I don't want to see. I see a nation drifting away from God. Our money should say, "In government we trust," instead of "God we trust." What a hypocritical nation America has become. And yet God's still using it. Yet God's still blessing it. And thank God for America. Me and Donnie was talking about America on the way up here. And we was talking about how compassionate this country is. How we go to the hurting.
Yes.
How we go to the hungry. You know, America's always tried to do right. It may not have always done right, but it's always tried to do right. And its soul represents the one in heaven that's full of compassion, that his compassions fail not. And the one of his mercies are new every morning. Donnie was telling me about a family living in their car, in their van this morning. We're trying to find their name that we might be able to help them physically, financially, or even spiritually. We don't even know their names, but they're living in a van. And we're going to try to find out how to get in touch with them, maybe find... I know where there's a place that they can afford, and we might be able to get them in there. Amen.
Amen.
But we were kind of talking about America, and I'm glad America, it's still got a remnant. It's still got a heart. It hasn't given completely over. It is going in that direction, but it hasn't given itself completely over. And thank God, I'm glad I was born in America. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to be teaching this morning out of Revelations chapter 2. And we're going to go to God in prayer before we teach. Father, we thank you for the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And Lord, we would do well to give the most earnest heed to it. Father, open our eyes this morning. Open our ears. Open our hearts. May we receive, I pray, Thy Word. Lord, may You open it to us. May You make the great truths known. May You show the great treasures that it holds. And Lord, for whatever You do, we'll give You all praise and all glory. And ask His favors in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good to have Brother David Lowe with us this morning. We've had a visitor the past three Sundays.
Amen.
Chuck Barbie showed up that I used to work with. Showed up unannounced, but what a blessing it was to have him. Sandra Ford showed up last Sunday, unannounced, and what a blessing it was to have her. And Brother David Lowe here this morning, a beloved brother of mine that we've known for a long time, and showed up unannounced. What a blessing it is to have him here this morning. And I praise God for all three of those visitations. Amen. Revelations chapter number 2. And over the heading of chapter 2, it mentions the things which are. Now, we talked about that key verse in Revelations chapter number 1, where the Lord speaking to John, and He tells John, write the things which thou hast seen. Now, he's just seen really a vision here, and he saw Jesus like he's never seen him before, and the sight was so great. Verse 17 said he fell at his feet as dead. Now John is known as that disciple whom Jesus loves, and he's never seen the Lord in this capacity. When he sees him, the thing that really speaks to me in verse 14, he said his eyes were as a flame of fire. That means he don't have dove's eyes no more. He's mad. And not only he's mad, but he's getting ready to show himself to be God. And the world may not have wanted nothing to do with him. The world may not have had room for him, but they're going to have something to do with him this time. And listen, they're going to make room for him this time.
That's right.
But this key verse, Jesus telling John, write the things which thou hast seen. I'm glad he wrote them. I want to know them myself.
Amen.
I wouldn't have never known this if I didn't have John writing it down. And the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, the reason I wanted to read that verse is chapter 2 of Revelation. John's writing the things which are the seven churches. I wrote down a couple of notes about this chapter here. Revelation mentions seven sevens. Revelation mentions a book that has seven seals. It mentions seven candlesticks, Revelation 1:12. Seven stars, Revelation 1:16. A seven sealed book, Revelation 5:1. Seven seals which are open, Revelation 6:1. All the way to Revelation 8:1. Seven trumpets, Revelation 8. Starting in verse 7, it goes all the way to Revelation 11:15. Seven vials which are poured out on the earth, Revelation 16:1-21. And seven dooms, Revelation 17:1. And they finish up in Revelation 20:15. I'm kind of glad that most of that don't pertain to us. Amen. But in Revelation 2, John here is writing to the things which are. He says, unto the angel of the church of the Ephesians, write, or Ephesus, write these things, saith he, which holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. And you get that from in the previous chapter, Revelation 1:16, talking about the incarnate Christ, and he had in his right hand seven stars. And here he is making the comment, these things saith he, talking about Jesus, that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which are mentioned up here in verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. John here is writing what the Lord told him to write. Verse 2, he's talking about this church in Ephesus. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. That one verse says a lot. You know, Jesus talked about when he returned, would he find faith on the earth? And we're supposed to occupy till the Lord comes, and we're supposed to work a good work. And he starts out saying, I know thy works. And we've got a good work. God's work is a good work. I've worked all my life. And some of you have too. But this work is different than all the work that I've done. This work I do because I am saved. This work I do not because it's what saves me, but it's the product of salvation. Ephesians 2:8 talks about, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are His workmanship. He begun a good work in us, Philippians 1 says, and He'll continue that work until He comes for us. But the Lord notices our work, the motive of our work. Brother Danny, he goes to work,
And his motivation is to get a paycheck. And Tammy, she gets that paycheck. She's like my wife. She spent it, said you need to make more money. But anyway, the Lord talking about these works, he said, I know thy work. I'm not working to get a paycheck. I'm working. My labor is a labor of love. I'm working because that I am saved. And I do want to work. It's a blessing to be able to work in the vineyard that the Lord put me in. Most people don't realize this. I work in a factory, and it was very polluted with vulgar language and things that after I got saved, I didn't want to hear anymore. But before I got saved, I was part of it. I mean, but I tried to tell the tale that was told. A lot of it wasn't fit to tell, but we'd do it. After I get saved, I'm thinking, you know, I really should be somewhere else. But you see, and I mentioned about light shines better. Hey, Ed, the light went out of here. Light shines better in darkness. You can go in the darkest cave, and I've been there. I remember one time we skipped school, and I know we shouldn't have done it, but we did it. And we went to Saltpeter's Cave, and we was way back there in the back of it by a place. They call it the bottomless pit. You could drop a rock in there, and you never even hear it ever hit anything. But, Patrick, with support, I had a motorcycle battery and the light bulb out of a motorcycle for a light. And that's what we had going back through this cave. We done been through that, what they call the fat man's misery. I mean, you can just barely get through it.
Yeah.
And here we are back here to the bottomless pit. We're on the other side of it, by the way, Sharon.
Yeah.
And the light bulb burns out. Now, you're talking about a darkness that can be felt. We had to feel our way out of that cave. And we was holding on to one another in case it went down that bottomless pit. We was going to pull them out. So we're kind of like a caterpillar coming out of there on our hands and knees, getting out of that cave. And boy, we sure was glad to see the slightest glimmer of light.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I'm going to guess our eyes was probably dilated. You ever see a policeman go up and shine a flashlight in your eye?
Yeah.
Does anybody know why they do that?
See if you're drunk.
If you've been drinking. But if you've been smoking dope, both of them cause your eyes to dilate.
Pupils,
yeah, and they won't go back small when you shine a flashlight in there. And they're smart. They know what they're doing. So they shine a flashlight in your eye. And if your eye goes back together, they know you're sober or you ain't high or whatever. So there's a reason why they shine a flashlight right in your eye. Well, we're in this cave. Now I'm going to guess our eyes are probably completely dilated. I mean, we're looking for a glimpse of light. And way back in this cave, we can see just a little glimmer of light coming out of there. And we was able to find our way out of that cave. But anyway, getting back to my subject matter here. The Lord here talks about He knows our works and our labor and the patience that we have. In our work and in our labor, we faint not. Paul made that statement, we faint not. And I wish that could be true with all of us, but a lot of people, some of them on my prayer list, they fainted. They fell behind. Then they started falling from afar off. And then all of a sudden they're nowhere to be found. And the Lord here talks about patience. The Bible tells us to run the race with what?
Patience.
He said you have need of patience. Mm-hmm. And we do. But patience, let it have its good work. The longer that you wait for something, the more precious it is when you get it. And I could illustrate that many ways. But anyway, just take, for instance, you wanted this car and you saved up your money forever and ever and you finally get enough money to say, I want that car and here's the money for it. Or let's take, for instance, you're trying to win the love
of someone you know that you've met and you fell in love with them, and you're working hard to get favor, and when you finally don't give up and get that favor and get that love, you enjoy the rewards of that patience. Well, the Lord here is talking about, He said, I see it all. I see your works. I see your labor. I see your patience. I see how, and I wish churches would get to this point. I see how you cannot bear them which are evil. Now, America's going full speed ahead. LGBT, QRST, alphabet, whatever you want to call it. It started with the last presidency. Thank you, brother. I flipped that switch. I probably didn't put it back where it needed to be. But it started with the last presidency. Does anybody remember the White House turning rainbow color?
Oh, yeah. Obama did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There, that was kind of like a sign of what was coming. And I was telling Donnie this morning, some things aren't what they appear to be. We give a lot of money to a lot of causes. And if you're not careful, you'll give money with good intentions, but it'll go somewhere that you never intended it to go, and you wouldn't give a dime to it if you knew where it really went. I remember hearing on the Christian radio station, CARE. Now, one of the CARE is legitimate, and it does go to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and all of that, but another CARE, they only change one letter in it. It goes to finance Hamas terrorists.
Yeah.
I don't want to finance Hamas terrorists. So that's why I'm talking about. You know, that was a sign of things. I remember working in the workplace and my boss come out there. You know what he said, Donnie? He said, get used to this word right here because you're going to have to deal with it. You know what that word was? I wish I had enough sense back then to know what he was really talking about. But he said, get used to this word, diversity.
Diversity.
I had no idea what really he was talking about. I thought, well, okay, you know, I'm busy anyway. But I had no idea what an impact diversity could have on me, could have on the workplace, could have on the church, could have on this country. I hope I don't lose my train of thought where I'm going here. There's a law that this, I'm going to try to be nice here, so-called elected president, and I'm very much in doubt of the legitimacy of the outcome of the election. I've got to write my opinion. You've got to write yours. Look, they may be opposite. They may be the same. But everybody has an opinion. And my opinion is this election was one of fraud, one of deceit. But anyway, get off of that. If this so-called president gets sworn into office, he said within 100 days, I will sign the Equality Act. Now, you thought that word diversity was bad when you saw the effects of it. You thought that was bad when transgendered people could outlift your daughters in sports, because we know that's our God in America. The transgendered runners could outrun your daughters and get the gold medal. When all of a sudden they're allowed to use the restroom with the daughters. Matter of fact, I ain't sure they know what gender they are anymore. But anyway, that word diversity was bad. I wish I could have seen what was coming. It's kind of like your pasture mirror. Things are closer than they appear. I had no idea the effect that one word diversity would have upon me and my family. But this Equality Act, now Brother Ed, I am for doing right. But this Equality Act will bind you
See, you got to buy a strong man before he can spoil his house.
That's right.
Through all this country, as great as it is, as good as it is, as godly as it is, it'll be bound.
Yes, it will.
What did he do with Samson after he put his eyes out? Mm-hmm. What did he do with him? Bound him.
Yeah.
He didn't break them, did he?
No.
Next thing you know, he's playing the fool. He's down there grinding in the mill at the Philistines, and they're mocking him, making fun of him. Well, this country, in the similitude of what I just said right there, this verse, he's talking to the church in Ephesus, and he says, I want to commend you on how you cannot bear them which are evil. That's good. And has tried them which say they are apostles. Oh, you mean to tell me there's false apostles? You know, I'm getting ready. I don't know when, but I'm going to preach a message on we forgot how to fight. Mm-hmm. Paul said, I fought a good fight.
Yes.
Some reason or other, we just don't fight no more.
That's right.
Some reason or other, we don't speak no more. Some reason or other, we're silent. Mm-hmm. But we should be speaking.
That's right.
And I don't want this mouth to be muzzled. They're going to buzz it. I just don't want it. Mm-hmm. That Equality Act will I'll be under penalty of law if I preach against a homosexual lifestyle.
Yeah.
You just don't know the weight this Equality Act, and I'm glad it has been held back. You just don't know the weight this Equality Act's going to have upon this country.
Yeah.
I was telling Donnie, I said, someone can come in your workplace and say, I want your job, and they'll have more an advantage than he will, even though he's a hard worker. I don't even believe where he works at could survive without him. They will have leverage through the law, through the Equality Act, to have the leverage to take his job from where he works at.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we're kind of sleeping right now. A lot of this stuff's going on while men slip. An enemy came, sold tares, and these tares are starting to come up. And you see a little bit of it, but you're going to see a whole lot more of it. The Lord's commending this church in Ephesus. And He said, not only you don't bear them, but you've tried them, and you found out that they was liars.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good verse. Verse 3, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. And just keep on going. My pastor, he'll sing a song. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes and then go home with Him. That may not be all of it, but I'll tell you right now, I want to be found working when He comes. I want to hear Him say, well done.
Yeah.
And He's really speaking very highly of this church at Ephesus. He said, you've borne the heat of the day. You've had patience. You're still going. And for His name's sake, you've labored and not given up. You're not fainted. However, verse number 4, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with this. I've been rebuked before. Most of the time, I needed it. Well, He says here in verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, I thought about old Brother Eddie when I read that verse this morning. When I first got saved, right at 33 years ago, April 2021 to 27th, I'll be saved 33 years. I was 34 years old when I got saved. But Brother David, when I first got saved, I was called a fanatic, and I was. And I still am a fanatic, but I had more to go with it back when I first got saved. I mean, I'd witness to a fence post. I would. And people at work that I work with, Eddie, we're happy for you. We've heard that. We've heard that. Thank you. And you know, I just couldn't let off of it. And you know, with tears, I'd go forth and compel people to come to church and get saved. It's not that way today. Why not, Brother Eddie? Well, the Bible talks about the love of many would wax cold. In Matthew, I don't think I wrote that verse down here. Matthew 24, verse number 12. And he also talked about there'd be a great falling away before the Lord would come back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And if you was honest this morning, you'd probably say, Brother Eddie, I must admit I fell away quite a bit from where I was when I first got saved.
Yes, Lord.
Now, I agree, I've learned more, and I've grown, but I kind of wished I had some of that first effects of getting saved. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing David Epps talk about when he first got saved, Brother David. He said, I'd pull in the parking lot and just weep in the parking lot before I ever even went into church.
Yeah.
You see, God hadn't changed.
That's right.
But oh, how we do.
Amen. Amen, brother.
And we're like the flower that fades. We're like the grass that withereth. But praise God, we're still going.
Amen.
We haven't given up.
Amen. Amen.
I'm still looking to find that one nearest hell.
Yeah.
I'm still looking to give that great gift of Jesus to someone. Trying to find that one that's seeking Him. And kind of like that Apostle Philip that was told by the Holy Spirit to go down and join himself in Acts chapter number 8 to that Ethiopian eunuch as he's riding in his chariot, and he runs alongside that chariot and he hears him reading Isaiah, matter of fact, chapter 53, and he says, understandest what thou readest. And that Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I except some man should guide me? And I know people, they don't like you to help nobody get saved, but people that are lost need help.
Yes.
They need someone to fill in the blank, someone to explain what salvation is. Mm-hmm. I tell you how bad it was with me. I remember the first time I went to church, well, and I was still drunk from the night before. And I went there, and that preacher got up there, buddy. He plowed right down my road. He preached precept upon precept, and his message was, every idle word that men speak shall they give account of in the day of judgment. Boy, that got me, I mean, arrested with conviction. They didn't give invitation, just as I am, without one plea. And here I am, I mean, I'm so convicted, but I don't know what to do. That'd been a good time to get saved.
Yeah.
If somebody had come back there and said, Eddie, don't you want to get saved? I'd have said, yeah, I just don't know what to do. And they forbid me to come, but I was afraid coming. If I went, I wouldn't know what to do when I got there.
Yeah.
Well, that's why the lost need help. That's why we are His witnesses. You know, I'm a Jehovah Witness, a saved one. And the Bible talks about a true witness delivers souls, and a false witness makes twofold more child of hell than themselves. But anyway, we've got this witness in us. We're ambassadors for Christ. We are the light that the darkness needs that they might find Jesus and get eternal life from Him. So I wished I had the zeal that I had when I first got saved and the knowledge that I've got right now to go with it. Back then, I didn't know nothing. I don't know really not much more than that now. But what I know now would have helped if I'd known it back then, when all I knew, I'm kind of like that blind boy in John chapter 8, and they put him on the spot and confronted him, Calvin, and said, tell me how you open your eyes. He said, all I know is I'm blind now. See, that's simple enough. Amen. Amen. I mean, if there's a boy been born blind, he might not be able to put it in perspective, but he said, I do know one thing, I ain't blind no more.
Amen.
And, you know, that's about all I knew, amen. But the Lord here putting a
finger on a problem. He said this church in Ephesus, he said, you've left your first love. God help us not to leave the one that loved us, gave himself for us, but the walk is close. Matter of fact, the Bible does say, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Old song says, just a closer walk with thee. You can walk as close to God as you want. It just cost you something.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
So all you got to do is let go of the things of this world.
That's right.
Rick sings a song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his face. And the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, the things that you love the most will be the things you'll spend the most time with.
Yeah.
And this is all simple stuff here. They're still going. They're just not going as good as they were going when they first got him. And most churches suffer this problem today. Jesus rebuked a bunch, and he told them by their tradition they made the Word of God of none effect. And you know, the Word of God is what we need the most of. That's why Paul told Timothy, a young preacher, he said, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. He said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine.
Yes.
For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and be turned from the truth to fables. That's what's some of the problems of the church today is.
That's right.
They've kind of turned away from God, and they haven't turned him loose, but they're not falling as close as they did when they first got saved. And the Lord rebuking this church, and in love, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He says, and bring to remembrance, he says, remember therefore. Can you think of anything that makes you remember therefore? You know, the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, and he said, this do in remembrance of me. And he tells this church, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. You know, he is going to come quickly.
Yes.
Paul talked about it in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. And that, I heard you can't even measure that it's so fast. And I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now this verse right here, the Lord has seven candlesticks.
Yes, he does.
Eli the prophet, one of the jobs of the priest, I think, was to make sure that the light in the temple didn't go out. And he got old, and they left with the ark, his two sons. I can't even say their names, they're pretty bad. But anyway, his two sons, they wasn't doing the office of a priest, and God already told him he's going to kill them both. And Eli, as I guess as distant as he was, he said, the will of the Lord be done. And anyway, he's sitting there, and he's fearful because they took the ark with them, both of his sons. I can't pronounce their names or remember any detail. Both of them were killed in this battle. The ark was taken by the Philistines, but worse than that, the Bible says, and the lamp went out in the temple. God commanded that that lamp was to burn continually.
Yes.
And that was one of his jobs. And in a lot of churches, the lamp has went out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going through the motions, Brother Ed.
That's right.
Not bearing no fruit.
Right.
More like just how much longer do we get out of here kind of thing. Yeah. I don't know about y'all, but when I go to church, I want to get something.
Right. Amen.
I go a lot over at Bethel Baptist Church. I go there on Sunday night, and the reason I go, I want to get something. I have to admit, man, it's a goal of me. I mean bread and fish on the fire. And when you come here, I want you to get something. I don't want you to come in here and say, is there any word from the Lord? I want you to come here and say, good is the word of God today. Hallelujah, I needed it today. I'm kind of hoping to be able to give you something from the word of God that'll be able to help you in your walk with God. And the Lord here very gently is rebuking this church. He tells them, you know, to fix it. He said, I'll come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. It's contingent on what's the last three words? Except thou repent. I remember my pastor one time, make a lot of references, Brother Rick, but he's a good one to make references to. Hadn't been saved very long. My pastor's up there preaching, Brother David, like a wild man. He stopped. He went down to the altar, and I mean wept and wept and wept. I'm sitting there thinking, what did I do? I mean, I hadn't been saved very long myself. He wept for a long time, very loud. No quiet, I mean whacking sobs. Got done, cleaned himself up, went up there and finished that message. And I was afraid he'd even ask him what the heck happened. But you know what? He knew what to do. The Bible says that God is greater than our heart.
Yeah.
And He knows all things.
Right.
And it said, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God and receive those things which we ask because we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You see that connection that we have between God and our heart? David cut a piece of garment off of Saul. What's the Bible say? His heart was pricked.
Yes.
See, I remember that connection. Mm-hmm. I've had my heart to smite me, smote me, whatever. We left Bethel Baptist Church over there again, hadn't been saved very long, didn't know enough Bible, blow my nose. We had a soup or maybe a chili supper like after the service on a Sunday night up in the old building. In the back part where the kitchen is now. And it wasn't even finished, it's just concrete floor. And I don't even think it even had drywall on the walls, but we was in there. And you know, just modest accommodations, but we were a growing church. And anyway, we was in there, my little old boy, man, he was into He-Man back then. He was about 9 years old. I mean, it was about a Power of Grayskull He-Man. He went through there like kids. And listen, these are kids. They're going to do what kids do.
Right.
And Patrick, he's just running, full of life. He's having a big time. And he comes running through there and jumps from the door of the auditorium into that new part. And he jumps, and when he does, he knocks somebody's plate out of their hand. It falls on the floor. And I reacted in the wrong way, Brother Jerry. I really did. And I got my family, and they was afraid to even say anything, and we left immediately. We had not even got off of Kentucky Street, right down there pretty close to where the new church is, and I turned around, my little boy in the back seat, and I wished I hadn't said what I said, but I said it, so I'll admit it. I turned around, Jerry, and I said, maybe one of these days God will give me a good little boy. When I said that, my heart smote, and I never spoke another word till we got home. We got home, I had to work that night. I was on third shift. I got me a little sleep. And I got up and went to work at 11 o'clock. Then about 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd had it up to here. I mean, I'm telling you, something had to give. So I called home, wake my wife up, and she said, oh, I said, well, honey, I need to talk to my son. And she said, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, either get him or I'm coming home. She went and got him immediately. My woman, she's pretty much caters to money.
I mean, the Bible says her price is far above rubies. I'm still making payments on her. Anyway, she went and woke him up. He come in there, Brother Ed, and he's on the other phone. He said, hello. And I'm at work. I'm in the foreman's office. And I said, honey, I just want to tell you I'm sorry. God's already given me a good little boy. He said, okay, Daddy. Went back to bed. It really didn't matter to him.
No.
But it mattered to that one that smote my heart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm so glad for that connection. They might not have had no service on AT&T when that RV blowed up down in Nashville. But this kind of service, it don't have no interruptions.
That's right.
And God is greater than our heart. And this church right here, I do believe, had got so distant from God that God is trying to get their attention. He said, except you repent. And I do believe today that a lot of churches, kind of like Paul told the Galatians, mm-hmm. He said, you did run well. I don't think they're running too good today.
Right.
I know of all kinds of them, even this year, that it went belly up. Not because of money, but because they wasn't catering or tending to the things that's needful. Martha comes up to Jesus, and I was bragging on Carolyn this morning. Every church needs a Carolyn in it.
Yeah.
But Carolyn won't never do this. But Martha come up to Jesus, and she said, Lord, my sister's left me to serve alone. I guess she thought, man, get over and help Martha. But Jesus turned to Martha and he said, Martha, Martha. He said, you're careful. Mm-hmm. You're troubled about many things. But one thing's needful.
Right.
And Mary has chosen that good thing. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's hearing his word. She just wants more about Jesus. More about Jesus. Well, a lot of churches are kind of like Martha. They're troubled. They're careful. But they're missing that one important thing.
Right.
I can't imagine having church without Jesus.
Amen.
I don't never want to have one. I've never been but one place in my Christian life. And I was invited to go there by my dad who had just got saved. He didn't know better neither. But anyway, I did go with him at his invitation to go with him. God, I hate to even mention this. The woman he is dating asked him and me to go with her up there to this church. We showed up there, and as my manner was, I had my Bible with me.
Good thing.
I walked in this church and nobody else had a Bible, including the preacher. Mm-mm. And they looked at me like, he's got a Bible. You thought I had an AK-47. And we left that church and I realized everything ain't like it is at Bethel. I mean, the guy got up there and gave some kind of like a tear-filled testimony and it was good. But I'll tell you what, we need that word. We need it taught. We need it preached. We need to. Jesus said we need to live by every word that seeds out of the mouth of God. You may not, but I'll tell you what, you need to know some of them anyway.
Yeah.
But there wasn't no word there except what I brought in. And I thought that was kind of strange, you know, to be in a church. And no open up, no read the Bible, no prayer. This guy just jumped up and you know, I'm not going to put him down for his testimony. It's pretty good. Maybe that's what they're supposed to do, but it seemed like there had been a Bible in there somewhere. Wasn't a Bible nowhere. Well, anyway, the Lord rebuking this church and he tells them to repent. Mm-hmm. They're doing some things right, Brother Ed, but they're leaving something real important out.
Right.
Lord said you left your first love in verse 4. And he tells them to remember how it used to be. And he said you need to get back to where you used to be. or I'm going to do something that I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Now, I mentioned about Eli a while ago, and I mentioned about that lamp going out in the temple. Now, Eli, he had a daughter-in-law, and she's giving birth to a baby. Eli falls backwards when he hears about the ark being taken, and he broke his neck and he died. This daughter-in-law gives birth to a baby. Does anybody know what they named that baby? What is it?
Ichabod.
The glory has departed. Right, Brother David, Ichabod. There's some churches, they need to put that over the door.
Yes.
The glory has departed.
Yeah, that's right.
We might be few in number. We might not be ranked among the big churches in this area. But I will say this about this little church. We put it on the internet. We put it on Facebook. We know as it abroad that Jesus is in the house. We're doing the best we can with what we've got to do with our labor, our effort is not in vain.
Right.
I do believe one day we're going to be a little bit bigger church. I told Donnie, I hope it don't get too big because I'm a little preacher. And I don't know what y'all are going to do if you get too big, but I do see us growing, and I do see us growing substantially and in the right way.
Right.
Not just in number. We're growing in number. We had three join the church just a while back. But we're also growing in knowledge. We're growing in love.
Yep.
And you know what? It's going to continue to grow
right.
Until the Lord says, let's go home. Amen.
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 Mm-hmm.
Verse 6. Lord's speaking good about them now. He said, I want you to repent. But he's also putting a rose out. He said, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, or Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Mm-hmm. Now, two people in the Bible, the Lord mentioned he hated. One of them was Esau. I guess three. The other is the Nicolaitans. And the last one would be God's angry with the wicked every day. So I guess you could kind of put that in there with it. Psalm 7 verse 11. But he said, this church, they hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So they're doing a few things right. They kind of dropped the ball on something important. So he brings them to attention in verse 7. He that hath an ear. You know what one of the last days famines is? A famine, not of bread, but of hearing the Word of God. That's the worst famine ever. But he says, he that hath an ear. You know the Bible talks about he that made the ear, shall he not hear? Now, I don't have to listen like this, but I do want to hear. I don't know about y'all. Sometimes God speaks to me through my heart. Mm-hmm. A lot. Matter of fact, there's been a few times I pulled a car over.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't want to be interrupted in what I was getting at the moment. It was important. But the Lord says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, and by the way, we are overcomers. Hallelujah. I'm glad, amen, that we've already overcome that wicked one through Calvary, through the blood of Jesus. We're overcomers in Christ. To him that overcometh, and we are overcomers, will I give to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of paradise, in the midst of the paradise of God. The Lord here, he's got everything that we need. You just can't leave him out.
No.
Now, I do believe a lot of churches have got into tradition and they've got into formal type things. And I don't want to get too worldly. I see it in about everywhere I go. But you know them old song books, you can't find one no more. A lot of them old songs, I cut my teeth on. I can still remember a lot of them. Every now and then one of those songs will come to my mind. And over at Bethel, they've got a updated song book. And in some ways it's good, but in other ways it's not good because I'm singing by the letter. I don't even have a book in front of me. And the old songs and the new songs, there's a couple of words changed. That's why Brother Jerry will be able to lead the singing. And I'll say something that this song book here don't have in it. And I think this is a revision, but we had the first edition of this book at Bethel, and that's the one I cut my teeth on, and I still remember them to some degree. But you know, when you change a word in them, next thing you know, you realize, hey, I'm not with you know, this song that's being sung. I'm not in sync with it. I'm kind of out of sync. Well, the Lord here, He's kind of making mention of that. He said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches."
Right.
It's one thing to have a song book with maybe a word changed, but it's another thing to have one of these with a word changed.
Don't
do that. Y'all probably don't know this, but this Bible right here, a lot of preachers don't know this, has zero omissions.
Right.
Zero additions. It's just God's Word in English. I don't need to learn Greek. I don't need to learn Hebrew. A lot of people that don't sit with them good, but you know what? I don't answer to them.
That's right.
But I'll tell you one thing, if God couldn't give me a Bible, how in the world could He call me to preach? The Bible said, how shall they hear without a preacher?
Yeah.
How shall they preach except they be sent? And I want you to know God's hand is on this book, and God's hand is upon the man that preaches this book. And if he preaches it precept upon precept and line upon line, God can bless His ministry.
Amen.
A lot of men are a whole lot better orators than I am. I can't speak as good as them, but I will tell you this, I got enough sense to stay with the book. Amen. And the Lord here says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." They're hearing today, Brother Ed, but it's not from the Spirit.
Right.
Jesus mentioned in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." He mentioned that the Spirit wouldn't bear witness with nothing but truth. And the truth, let me see if I can find this verse real quick, because I think it fits real good right here. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 21, John says, "I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." In 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. The Spirit, it's not going to bear witness with nothing but truth. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the what?
Truth."
Yeah, the truth. Pilate looked at Jesus in the face and said, "What's truth?" That's the way the world is.
Yeah.
They're still seeking for truth. I'm glad I found it. Amen.
Amen.
But anyway, Jesus here, He said, and we'll probably stop on this verse right here, "He that hath an ear." Well, I've got two. Why have I got two? I got two ears and one mouth. Why? It's simple. I'm supposed to listen twice as much as when I'm talking. We did this opposite. Oh, God. I better be telling my wife, said, "Will you shut up just a minute and listen?" Finally, she gets my attention. I said, "Yeah, honey." And that's a whole lot better than getting a brick upside your head, you know what I mean? And you know what? When I do listen, Rita, I found out I should have been listening all along. I'm not chasing rabbits, and she's already got one. You know what I mean? Well, anyway, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." to him that overcometh, and we are overcomers. We're overcomers through him. Jesus said, be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. That's not really the verse I was looking for. But he said, in the world you'll have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I can't overcome the world, but through him I can. Through him I'm more than a conqueror. Through him, amen, I'm justified. Through him I am redeemed. Through him I'm saved to the uttermost from the guttermost. To him that overcometh, and thank God Jesus give that gift to us. He said, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And I'm all about eating. We're going to have a meal today after the church, amen. I mean, I'm all about eating. Brother Mitchell told me, he said, Eddie, be sure you wear an outfit that won't, when you get food all over, don't show up. I wore a sweater hat on right here this morning from the last time we ate. I looked and I had food all the way through 22 buttons and I scrubbed it off. Anyway, I took his advice, amen. But I like to sup with Jesus. Jesus here mentioned, we didn't get this far, but Jesus here mentioned in Revelation chapter 3, he said in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. But anyway, we'll stop right there. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7. And one church is all we covered, but it was really good. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, we'll stop right there. Amen.